Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain speaking. Welcome aboard Captain Fi, the Financial Independence Podcast. G'day. Welcome to an episode of Captain Fi, the Financial Independence Podcast, where I open the cockpit to some of the best and brightest in personal finance, as well as those who've reached or are on their way to financial independence. Before we get started today, remember anything on the show is provided for general information only and should not be taken as constituting professional advice. You should always do your own research when making any financial decision. To reach financial independence, we all know we need to be investing. Now, there are a wide range of financial products, investing tools, and share trading platforms that are available today, which makes it difficult to know which is the right one for you. To make matters worse, many of these have outrageously high brokerage or even hidden fee structures which can seriously erode your returns. To help demystify this investing landscape, I'm going to talk to you today about the share trading platform that I have personally been using over the last few years, and which is undoubtedly one of the most popular choices in the Australian FI community at the moment. This is, of course, Selfwealth. So, on board today, we have Jared Purchase, a general manager and marketing representative from the company. We talk all about the platform, its background, where it is today, and the direction Selfwealth is headed in the future. I asked Jared some tricky questions, but one of the most important things that come up in the interview was hearing how Selfwealth planned to stay relevant and compete with newer entrants to the Australian investing space, specifically market disruptors like Perla and Superhero, who both offer reduced and even zero brokerage on some ETFs. So, sit back, relax, and enjoy the flight. It's going to be about an hour long, and of course, thanks to COVID, the beverage service has been suspended. Jared, thanks for making time to come on the show this morning.
No problem. Happy to be joining you.
First up, mate, to set the scene, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, sure. So my name's Jared Purchase. My title's General Manager of Marketing, although we're a pretty small outfit, so people are typically wearing all sorts of different hats, everything from moving stuff around the office, organising social things, that sort of stuff. So in terms of my background, I've always been in marketing. I've been with Selfwealth for about 2.5 years now, more or less. Before that, I've been in a variety of industries, everything from gaming, pharmaceuticals, through to sort of consumer credit and finance. I spent about 5 years over in London applying my trade and returned to Australia about 3 years ago, which I worked for a small startup here and then joined Selfwealth, about 2.5 years ago. I guess in terms of like personally my hobbies, so I'm into fitness, going for a run, especially now that the COVID sort of shut down all the gyms and everything else we can do, sports and that sort of stuff. I'm Melbourne based as Selfwealth is, so we're still working through our lockdown restrictions. Like cycling, like sport, pretty sort of standard millennial in that regard. That's the stuff that keeps me entertained outside of work.
How have you guys found working through COVID?
Yeah, pretty much since the start of middle of March, I believe it was. We're an online business, so we don't have physical suppliers that we're receiving goods from, sending goods out to, that sort of thing. So, we've got a pretty sort of impressive online architecture and systems in place that run the Selfwealth platform, and our teams have been able to transition from working the office to working from home pretty easily. There's, some of the project work, it's a little bit disadvantageous to be working online. You like to sort of throw ideas around a room, use a whiteboard, that sort of stuff. But there was no, technical hindrance or slowing down of any process. Our customers wouldn't have noticed a single thing throughout that period. But we do miss being in the office because we're, as I said earlier, a bit of a smaller outfit, and everyone's pretty close to the company, and we've got a great office atmosphere. So I know a lot of us are missing that. But in terms of COVID, You know, our way of working hasn't changed that much, but as we all know, the markets took a bit of a hit then. People were looking to get into investing, which I'm sure you've seen yourself in terms of people listening to podcasts, visiting the site, all that sort of stuff. So that meant we had a lot more customers coming in through that March period. So we've been putting lots more people on in terms of, you know, customer service, technology, all that sort of stuff. But Selfiler's business has thrived through that period. Unfortunately, I know there's a lot of businesses obviously that are struggling, but because of the interest in the stock market, Selfwell's done very well. And because of our, what I like to think, our digital presence through, you know, sites and podcasts and like yourself, where we get recommended quite a bit, we managed to get a lot of new customers through that. And we're happy to have them on board, and a lot of them are actually quite new to the stock market. And we've been, I think, enjoying actually having all these new people entering the market and helping them with their investment journey.
As you say, there's been a huge uptick in interest in the investing space. And, you know, we've seen the FANG stocks just absolutely dominate. Yeah. I mean, I've personally gone, I'm pretty sure the index investing strategy is the way I should go. And then but I've seen these particular sectors just absolutely take off.
You can just jump onto Tesla, Amazon. Yeah.
I'm just waiting for technology to catch up to the point where I can personally work from home and just fly people around on a UAV or something, but I don't think that's going to happen.
No, I don't think we're quite there yet. It was really interesting stats, a little bit off topic, but I know when working from home came in March, there was a lot of surveys saying about 75% of those that obviously could work from home were really happy working from home. But I think it was in the last month or so, there was another survey done through one of the major news organisations that had plummeted down to 35-40%. So there's been a bit of change in sentiment about that. But I think everyone could probably agree it'd be nice in small doses, and the flexibility is fantastic. But as humans, we sort of crave that social interaction.
Yeah, and structure is really important. Yeah. Most of the audience are probably going to be quite familiar with Selfwealth. Mm-hmm. They might have seen the review on the blog. But for the benefit of people that might be hearing this for the first time, what is Selfwealth and what are some of the features that you guys offer?
Yeah, sure. So people might be intrigued as to why it's called Selfwealth. You know, there's a lot of names out there for trading platforms or investing platforms that talk to more the practical side of it. It actually started out in 2012. Andrew Ward, the founder, who was working in the business and continues to consult for the business, although not in his CEO role at the moment. He started out with the idea of being able to, there's two approaches. There was making investing more accessible for the average everyday Australians, which is happening so much more now, and it's accelerated over the past, you know, 12 to 24 months. And obviously doing podcasts and sites like your own makes it even easier. But back in 2012 when he started it, he worked for the wealth arm of Commonwealth Bank. And, you know, a lot of that knowledge was sort of trapped up in certain circles, and you kind of had to know people or talk to people and that sort of stuff that were in the know to get that stuff. So he actually, through a partnership with a company called BGL, who are an administration sort of regulatory software a platform and company for self-managed super funds, Ron Lesh, who runs that over there, decided to invest with Andrew to start up this business and effectively pull together large amounts of information around what people were doing to invest, with the idea of identifying great investors who you could then follow and take out a lot of the guesswork with the goal of outperforming the market. So he started that in 2012. There were all sorts of iterations of that. It was a subscription service. But the people that were using the platform then, they would have to get all those insights and you know, see who's doing well and what they've bought and what they hold, and then go somewhere else and invest. And they said, we actually want to do this on your platform. It's stupid. We have to go somewhere else. So he introduced the flat fee trading. It had to be flat fee because and as low as possible, because you know, the model that he found was typically the portfolio size would be about 20 shares and ETFs and that sort of thing. So to then have extremely high or percentage based fees and expecting someone to rebalance a 20 stock portfolio every quarter would just become too expensive. But that's how you should, that's how he found through his modeling was the best way to approach it. Turns out everyone wanted flat fee share trading. They joined the platform. Yeah. So at that stage, it was very innovative, and it was a game changer in terms of investing in shares of Australia. It was, it's HIN based. So there's no custodian model there. So it means you own them directly. You own the shares directly. Self wealth is just a means to buy and sell your shares. You know, on the CHESS registry, it lists you as an owner. It's not self wealth holding on behalf of you. You own them directly. So to be able to offer it at such a low cost was a bit of a game changer. So we've seen phenomenal growth since he introduced that and since I've joined, mainly because you can access the Australian stock market and through that, through ETFs, the rest of the world at an extremely low cost, but also flat fee. So you don't get penalized for growing your wealth and, being a little bit richer and trying to buy and sell. You get the same service at any of the bank-backed brokers as someone that's investing $1,000. If you've got $100,000 to invest, they just ask for some more money when you invest. So, which we think is a little bit rude. So ours is flat fee. Regardless of whether you're investing $800 or $2 million, it's still only $9.50 to invest.
That was the draw card that actually brought me across to the platform, or rather, what do the big banks or conventional brokers offer that self-wealth can't? Over the last few years, I honestly can't see the difference. Yeah. I know that, some places, big ones like CommSec, they do have the majority of the market share when it comes to brokerage. And all I can think is that maybe they just have a big customer base that maybe trust the company name. But, it's reassuring to see as time goes on and as the message gets out there, I guess people are voting with their feet and moving across to basically control the fees that they pay along the way. I mean, was it the Barefoot Investor, Scott Pape said you can't control the market, but you can control the fees. So
yeah, I was going to use that exact same phrase. Yeah, exactly. You don't know how the market's going to go, but yeah, why pay $20, $30 when you can pay less?
Yeah, so the $9.50 flat free trades, that was what got me across the door. And I've enjoyed using the platform. The app's really easy to use. The web client's good. I try and limit myself logging in. My personality, I can tend to get a little bit obsessive over my stock portfolio, and I can tend to log in too much and hawkeye my shares. So I personally try and just limit myself to when I'm doing my my monthly or fortnightly investment or when I'm producing the net worth updates for the blog. But I found them really easy to use. So what are your thoughts on, I guess, the market share and how the fintechs and new share trading platforms are competing with the conventional brokers?
Yeah, it's hard competing against banks. Reason being, they've got a ton of money, so they can advertise and spend a lot more than we can. But the main one is that there's a lot of trust in banks. Like we talk about banks not being particularly trustworthy, but everyone knows that banks are almost too big to fail. So there's always been, especially early on with self-wealth, there was a concern as to, who are you guys? Are you going to be around for ages? How do you keep my money safe? What happens to my shares? All that sort of stuff. We're a publicly listed company. We've worked really hard to build that trust. We've got over 55,000, active Australian investors using us, which represents about 6% of the market. So we are the biggest, the second biggest non-bank backed online broker behind CMC, who have been around for a long time as well. So building that trust was really hard for us, and we fought for it. But at the end of the day, like you've said, there's not much difference between the banks and us in terms of features, functionality, security. The banks, you have your shares through the CHESS sponsorship on your own HIN, same with us. The bank accounts there are covered by the government guarantee, same with us. So that's like for like. So, and the fact that we're publicly listed, we report quarterly. You can see how the company's going. We've now had two positive cash flow quarters, which we were pleased to announce on the 2nd of October. So there's a lot of confidence in Self-Wealth as a business. We've got a lot of institutional investors, a lot of retail investors, a lot of people that use our platform invest in us, which is a fascinating concept that people that use your product also buy your company through your company. There's not many other industries that allow something like that. It's something like, I think the last time I did the analysis, over a third of the company is actually owned by people on Self-Wealth. That is skewed by the fact that, staff, directors, founder are all on Self-Wealth, but it's quite an interesting proposition. Back to sort of features and functionality. There are some things that we don't have that, the likes of CompSec, who have 55% of the market, don't have, but we're looking to add that stuff over the next six months or so. We're launching US trading in before Christmas is the company line, so I'll stick with that. You said the app's good, but we actually think it can be improved quite a lot, and we're launching a new app around the same time. So a lot of work's been put into those two projects. The US trading's been worked on for 12 months alongside Phillip Capital, who are a massive global investing firm. They're our partners for that. And then once those two things are launched before Christmas, we're going straight into all sorts of different projects. In improving data, we've got a new deal with Refinitiv, who are the guys that provide all sorts of information and data around your stocks. We've got a whole set of data that's ready to go into the platform, things like, environmental, social, governance sort of measurements, emotional measurements, all these sorts of things to help people invest better. We're looking at live pricing, quicker funding, all that sort of stuff. We know there are things that our clients are yelling and screaming for, and we're very aware of those, and we're looking to add those in. So if you like Self-Wealth now, it'll only get better over the next 6 to 12 months.
That's that's very reassuring to hear. I was going to ask, what can we expect in the future? But that's a fantastic breakdown. So I just want to circle back to security. So the first thing I'll point out is I 100% agree, having the company IPO'd, that's very reassuring for me, because I can now go and have a look at all the companies reporting, and I can feel comfortable that you're also being regulated by ASIC. And I think it just adds a tier of trust that I don't have to, take it on your word that the company is actually growing and strong. And I've actually found that with my research on a number of investing platforms, particularly global platforms, mm-hmm. Which are privately owned, they do withhold a lot of information, and you end up just basically having to trust them. So that's a really big positive in my book. And the second thing I was going to ask, Jared, was, and you touched on a HIN, or a holder identification number, which is to do with CHESS sponsorship. I was wondering if you might be able to elaborate a little bit more on CHESS sponsorship versus custodian investing models, and which one Self-Wealth uses.
Yeah, sure. It's a very strange name, if I can say that. I really only got personally interested in investing once I joined Self-Wealth. I didn't know too much about it. I had a pretty standard view of the stock market. It's gambling. I may as well go down to the TAB and put some money down. It's the same effect. So when I first learnt about investing and had to obviously know the product really well and the market well to be able to market Self-Wealth, I had to learn all these different terms. CHESS is a very strange term to start off with, and it's got nothing to do with the game. CHESS is effectively which was disappointing because I like CHESS. CHESS was it's effectively a central registrar that lists who owns what at any one stage, and it's outside of the broker, so it's got nothing to do with Self-Wealth. So if Self-Wealth, to all the servers and all the office, were to burn down tomorrow, there would be no doubt as to what Self-Wealth clients own, who owns what, how much they own, all that sort of stuff, because it's not held with us. You can effectively look at Self-Wealth as a portal to be able to to access and view your shares and your ETFs, and then to buy and sell them on the market, where you access to the market. You can't really do that by yourself. You need someone to help you with that. So that's what we facilitate. So the difference between that and a custodian model, there's all sorts of different models and there's new ones popping up now. A custodian model means the company that your broker will effectively have the shares on your behalf. You'll be listed as the beneficial owner for that. But the broker will be the one that's more or less buying and selling the shares on your behalf. So the ownership is structure is very different. And in the case, I'm not saying this will happen in the future, of course, but in the case of brokers that have collapsed in the past, there was one about 5 years ago, BBY. There's certain things that have happened in the past that make that not particularly desirable for Australian investors. We see anecdotally in our clients saying, really like the HIN structure, I don't like the custodian model. The advantage of a custodian model, though, is typically you'll get lower fees. So you're effectively trading off that safety and that security for a little bit of risk, but lower fees. So I can't tell people what's best for them. The fact that everyone still trades on all the banks, us and CMC, who are all HIN-based, and we have almost the entire of the market, says that the overwhelming, the entire Australian investing market prefers a HIN-based model. This may change in the future. Custodian models are needed to trade US shares. So we're introducing US share trading before Christmas is the line I'm still sticking with. And that's the only way you can invest in US shares directly from Australia. There's no HIN-based, CHESS-based system for investing US shares. So that is necessary for that. But if you're investing in the ASX, there's an option for more security, and that's through CHESS sponsorship of your own HIN. So not a shared HIN or some sort of other system. The safest way is to directly invest with your own HIN. So if you've got an account with us and you've got a trust, an SMSF, an individual and a joint, you will have four separate HINs for those accounts. So it's very clear the SMSF owns this. If Self Wealth were to go under tomorrow, there's no doubt as to who owns those shares.
So yeah. that was the second major draw card for me when I switched to Self-Wealth. So I guess like the majority of Australian investors, I was previously with CommSec, and I learnt about Self-Wealth and realised that I could essentially pull the rug out from underneath CommSec and take my shares and plug them into Self-Wealth, which is something which I'm not sure if you have that functionality under a custodian structure as well. I think you kind of have to play the game. And I've heard some horror stories about people having to wait a significant period of time to actually transfer their stocks.
Yeah, absolutely. That's something I didn't touch on. Yeah, you can move them around easily. So, we're getting record amounts of HINs coming from other brokers at the moment. It just continues to grow. So we're not just getting new clients that are new to investing. We're getting people coming from other brokers in droves. So they can just literally pick up the HIN, say, CommSec, I'm taking my HIN, I'm going somewhere else. And then you give that to Self-Wealth, and then all your stocks come across with that. It's sometimes not a particularly quick process. It might take a week because, we have to process the form, send it off to CommSec, and then, you're obviously leaving them. So they might not necessarily process that quickly. So there's two parties involved there, but absolutely, yeah. If anyone that's CHESS sponsored, any broker that was CHESS sponsored were to go under, you literally just pick that HIN up and take it somewhere else. We've had in Australia, 5 years ago, there was the collapse of BBY, which created a lot of headaches. I personally was investing directly in the UK market with a UK-based broker when I used to live over there. That broker went under in August 2019, and I literally actually just today have finally got my money out. So, it's taken a very long time to get out. So if that was a HIN-based system in Australia, I presume it would be a significantly quicker because other brokers would just be very hungry to take that HIN from a collapsed broker. It's the ownership was what made that process with this UK broker a lot messier, because they have to go through line by line on this stock. Oh, who owns that? Oh, they received a dividend from these guys. You know, it was an absolute disaster. Not to scare people, but that's just, you know, that these things have happened in the past.
Yeah. So, I mean, with the custodian structure, you're the beneficiary on the trust and you still own the share. I mean, yeah. Legally, you're not the named owner, but you're the legal beneficiary and it's effectively, it is your share.
Yeah.
But without the third party, it can be a bit tricky to actually unwind that trust to make sure that you get what you're owed.
Exactly. Yeah. Legally, you're, you know, you're safe, but realistically in the real world and logistically how that will happen, who's to know? It's it's a bit of an unknown, and we've seen things in the past where it hasn't worked out too well. But people need to do their own research into that. But like I said earlier, most of the people investing in Australia, almost everyone, is HIN-based in terms of a market share of, there are other custodian models in Australia that have been around for a while that are slightly cheaper than Self-Wealth, but there's a reason they're not as popular as ourselves or the banks or CMC.
So with the rise of a sort of a number of these competing smaller share trading platforms, fintechs like Superhero and Perla, that are using the either a custodian or a HIN structure, how do Self-Wealth plan to stay relevant or competitive?
Yes, that's a really good question, actually. I'm actually personally excited about competition. Like Rob, the managing director of Self-Wealth, gets a lot of questions, a lot of people concerned, going, "Oh, you've got competition now." We actually like it, to be honest, I personally thrive off it. So I welcome the competition. It'll mean Self-Wealth has to be work harder. We have to be more innovative. We have to show why people continue to use Self-Wealth. I guess in terms of those two examples you've given, that the three of us together are different offerings. Superhero is a custodian based, more or less. They've got a shared HIN, so the company, I guess, is CHESS sponsored, but they've got a shared HIN, so you don't have your individual HIN there. So that allows them to offer cheaper brokerage through all sorts of different means. Perla has a market that they're aiming for, and they're obviously aiming for the FIRE audience. Who might want certain conveniences such as calculators, FIRE calculators inside the platform, automatic investing, all that sort of stuff. We can do that, so I'm not too worried about them doing that and us not being able to. We will look at that in the future. It's been discussed many times in the past. I know everyone on FIRE, the FIRE community and Reddit, wants auto investing, so that's something that we'll definitely consider. So we're not too concerned about that. The fact that we've been operating a business for this long, we're a successful business. We've built up trust and credibility. We're not too worried about competitors coming in, but it means that our customers will probably be a little bit more demanding in terms of why shouldn't I go somewhere else, because there's lots of options. And I think that's great, because I'm an Australian investor myself. I invest, and I think, you know, the more competition there is, it's the better for the consumer. So it'll just force us to be better. So fortunately, we're launching US trading. I've said like a few times now, we're launching US trading soon, and I'm not intending just to plug US trading, but it will be somewhat disruptive to other providers out there. It will be in one place. It'll be convenient. We'll have a massive selection of stocks. There's over 7,500 stocks. You'll have a US wallet, so you'll be able to transfer funds between Aussie dollars and US dollars. So that'll be a key differentiator. I don't know if you've used CommSec to invest in international shares, but I actually don't know how to use their platform. It's that archaic. We're just going to continue to innovate and just make sure the experience is great as possible. The app, I'm personally running that project, so I'm really excited about that. The app that's coming out, hopefully everyone is, but it'll be a continuing project that will evolve over time. So making sure our customer service is great, experience is great, and people are getting value for money through us.
This podcast is brought to you by the best portfolio tracking tool for Aussie investors, ShareSite makes it incredibly simple to track your portfolio with automatic updates of share purchases and dividends, easy-to-read graphs, and comprehensive tax and performance reporting, all wrapped up in an easy-to-use cloud-based system. For users with fewer than 10 holdings, it is completely free, and I even used the free version for years. Head over to captainfi.com/ShareSite-review to see if ShareSite is for you. Captain Fi listeners can score themselves 4 months of ShareSite premium for free by using the bonus sign-up code in the article. If you do ever decide to hold more than 10 stocks, be sure to use this code to get your first 4 months for free. Even if you do only plan to use the free version, using the code means if you ever do upgrade, you will still get your 4 months for free. Ditch the Excel spreadsheet and complete your tax with a click of a button by signing up today. That's captainfi.com/ShareSite-review for your 4 free months.
Just on that US share trading, I did create a Pershing account with ComSec, which is how you how you invest. There, it was very complex. It was quite different to the actual ComSec platform for the ASX. And I was, you know, I don't mean to bash anyone, but I was quickly turned off of it and stopped doing it. My intention was I just wanted to buy Apple stocks because I, at that phase of my investing career, I thought that picking individual stocks was the strategy for me. And I guess circling to how I do it now, I personally use a ETF. I invest using the Vanguard Total US Share Market, VTS, which is a Australian-listed ETF, which then holds the US stocks. So that's how I've personally got over the issue of how to invest in the US market from Australia. I have seen a lot of US trading apps, you know, for example, Stake, and also, you know, eToro, or I think CMC and IG who offer it as well. They allow you to trade, you know, in base USD, whilst a lot of them offer, say, brokerage-free trades. The transaction fees or the spread on the Forex is actually where they make quite a lot of money. And it ends up being like quite expensive. So you think you're getting free brokerage, but you're actually paying quite a lot on foreign exchange fees, which ends up sort of dinging you, which sort of just makes me circle back and think, I'm glad I chose an index approach. But I acknowledge that not everyone is interested in an index passive ETF style investing, but that's just what works for me in my personal circumstance.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, brokerage and investing is never as clear cut as, oh, they're giving me free brokerage. I'll go with those guys. We pride ourselves on being transparent about everything. So you'll never find us hiding behind terms and conditions or ambiguous wording or anything like that. So I'll admit I've not looked into eToro too much. But I do know the nature of their product probably isn't suited to our clients. That they're probably trying to get you on board with free trades for US stocks. Potentially might be taking a little bit more of a cut through the FX spread. And they'll also be wanting to cross-sell you to all sorts of different other products they've got where they'll make probably a bit more money. Same with the like of Stake. Stake's great. I love their product, love their brand. They do offer free brokerage, but also they've got to make money somewhere. So their FX spread's a bit higher than ours. So we won't be offering free brokerage. It'll be $9.50 brokerage, but it'll be very clear as to what you're getting. We're not aiming to necessarily be the cheapest out there for US investing, but in a lot of scenarios, it will be cheaper to use us than others if you do that research into you know, exchange rates and all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, with us, you'll have one place. You only have to log into one account. It'll be very clear. You'll be dealing with the same client services team for Aussie equities, US equities, and in the future, other international markets.
Oh, it's you know, I'm looking forward to seeing how it turns out, and you know, potentially dabbling in a couple of Apple shares like I wanted to back in the day.
Yeah, absolutely. I think everyone wants to do that. We'll be testing it out over the coming weeks, and I know I'm going to be a tester, so. I'll be investing in Amazon or Apple or Netflix or something like that for a bit of fun. But we're really excited about the product. When our clients are chomping at the bit to get onto it, we get asked every day, you know, 10, 20 times a day when it's coming. So we're keen to get it out. Our clients are keen for it to go out. So it'll be an exciting product.
Awesome. So I guess like that's a perfect segue. Since you've started working with SelfWealth, how has your investing journey changed? And, you know, would you classify yourself as an active or a passive investor? And what's your strategy?
Yeah, that's a great question. I don't think my story is too different to yours. The thing that I found is I'm disappointed I didn't know about it a lot earlier in my life. So for your younger audience that's listening to this, well done on thinking about investing and listening to stuff like this. You know, the best thing you can have on your side is time. And if you're investing at 20, even if it's only $1,000, you know, every few months, every half a year or something like that, I think that's a great step. So I took the same approach to you. I thought, oh, I'll try and pick the eyes out of a few stocks and, you know, get 200% return over 1 year or something like that, which you learn very quickly is not easy to do. There's a lot smarter people out there that are trying to do the same thing. So personally for me, to think that I'm smarter than those people out there, I'm not. When it comes to investing, I don't read balance sheets day in, day out and talk to CEOs and all that sort of stuff. So I've gone from learning very early that I can't pick stocks, although, you know, SelfWealth was obviously one I got invested in pretty early because I joined the company, wanted to own part of the company. I buy ETFs myself, so I just take the thinking out of it, and I take the emotion out of it too. I'm only ever buying. I don't rebalance that often. So I don't rebalance at all. If I'm rebalancing, I'm just buying some of the ETFs that might be a little bit down to sort of bring that weight up a little bit more. So I'm boring. I'm pretty vanilla. 30% in Aussie equities. Via something like the BetaShares A200, which is obviously low fees. And then the rest pretty much in global / US markets. In terms of, I guess, financial independence, I'll probably be a fat FIRE, if that's the term that's thrown around much at all, in terms of, wanting financial independence, but also wanting a relatively good lifestyle. I'm not going to be eating beans and rice so I can get to financial independence, but I would like to do it before I'm obviously the age of 60. So hopefully that covers off most of your questions around financial independence. But I think it's a fantastic movement, there are great reasons as to why people would get involved in something like this.
The FIRE acronym, financial independence, retire early. I mean, that's not always going to be appropriate to everyone. I kind of like to think of it as financial independence, retire eventually, i.e. it's just giving you a bit more control and choice over your life. I'm similar to you as well, Jared. So I've got a lean FIRE or a single FIRE, as I call it, which will sort of just cover my cost of living. But I'm working towards a fat FIRE myself, or I call it a family FIRE, where I'm actually able to generate a bit more passive income to be a stay-at-home dad rather than, you know, continue to fly cargo operations around the world, because, you know, I tend to be away from home quite a bit. And, I'm looking forward to one day buying a farm of my own and raising some kids. And the only way that's going to happen is with ongoing sensible investments.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think it's, you've hit the nail on the head there in terms of financial independence. Is extremely empowering to know that you're not beholden to an employer. You're allowed to move outside of that, and if you're not enjoying a job or not enjoying a place, you're not tied down to that. So I think the financial independence part's key for me, but I enjoy working. I find the challenge of it fantastic, and being productive is a great feeling. I don't know if I'll have, I'm 33, I don't know if I'll have that same feeling in 15, 20 years time, but I think it's a great concept, and I think a lot of people should strive towards it.
It sounds like you've got a pretty good company culture regarding financial independence as well. You mentioned a lot of employees taking advantage of the company investment schemes as well. So it sounds like that's a really good part of the team behind SelfWealth.
Definitely, yeah. There's a lot of people who have been there for a while, so they've gone through, tough times as a startup. 2012 through to now is a long time, and it's quite impressive that they, alongside Andrew Ward, the founder, has managed to go from nothing all the way through to a publicly listed company that is now generating cash flow positive quarters. Like, that's not many companies do that. So the fact that the the people who've been around for a long time speaks of a great culture in the company, which as we grow, we've grown quite significantly over the last 12 to 24 months. We're trying to retain that. I think it's also a great thing for our clients because we have genuine people that care about our clients. We're not people that are here to just make money off individuals. So we actually, in the name self-wealth, we're trying to help people generate wealth for themselves. We've got low fees. We're trying to always be have reasonable products, things that, you know, if we look at things in the future like options and CFDs and all that sort of stuff, we would not be going down the route of pushing those on people when they're not educated, when they're not comfortable, that sort of thing. We always want to give options to people and features to people if they want that. Those are things that people are asking for. But we're also very, very conscious of being a responsible provider in this market. We think there's been a bit of a lack of that in the past few decades and definitely still is. But we want to be one of those organisations that people look to and they go, yeah, they're genuine, they're Australian-based, they're a small group that actually cares about Australian investors and their clients.
You kind of touched on it initially about the social aspect of the platform. Could you just talk a little bit about the Self-Wealth social side of the house?
Yeah, that's how the company started out. So it was founded on that idea of there's so many investors out there and obviously people are doing a great job. How do you identify good investors? So there's a lot of work that goes behind that concept. So there's two main things. There's a wealth check score and a safety rating. Safety rating one is easy. It just talks to diversification. So, if you don't want a high risk, it's like putting all your money into one stock. You wouldn't do that. Most people listening to this will probably know about diversification. Your eggs all of a sudden in one basket. If that goes up, great. But also if it goes down, that's all your money in there. So an individual with a high safety rating, and if you're on the Self-Wealth platform, you get all these ratings from the get-go. It might take a little while for the system to understand your performance over time, where you're missing performance. It'll use kind of a community average. So the longer you're with Self-Wealth, the more accurate this thing becomes. So safety rating's easy. Someone will either have a high safety rating, they're diversified, they've either got lots of individual stocks, or they've got an ETF in there, which as we know, an ETF contains lots of stocks. So an ETF by default is diversified. And then the wealth check score, which has been worked on over years and years. So wealth check score looks at a few things. The main one is time-weighted performance. So the performance of an individual over the past month, the past 3 months, the past 6 months, the past 12 months, and then annualized after that. Like I said before, if we don't have all that data for someone, we'll use community averages. So someone's wealth check score would be more accurate over time. I've got to put the disclaimer out there, past performance will not necessarily indicate that someone's going to perform well in the future, but this is the system that we try and use to identify that. Depends how much time you've got, but I can also go into the part around target portfolios. So this was before all the trading part took off. We set up so you could effectively follow some individuals you chose if you want to customize it, and plenty of people do that. But most people use the default option, which is the top 20 people by wealth check score, so time-weighted performance and diversification. And it puts them into a little group, and then it takes the 20 top stocks in that group and will equally balance it, so equally weighted, I beg your pardon. So if you've got $200, every stock in there will have $10 against it. It won't put more money towards larger companies or smaller companies. So that has been shown to outperform the market over different periods. We have all sorts of, or I'd say we've got over 100 internal indexes that follow all these different options, like rebalancing monthly, rebalancing annually, taking the top 10 people, taking different time weights, all that sort of stuff. And we've found the best performing index is the one that looks at the top few people. Equally weighted 20 stocks or ETFs and then rebalance quarterly. So that's like all that data and that information is core to Self-Wealth. And once again, it's trying to give that knowledge and information to average investors who would have to pay a financial advisor or something like that to get that sort of same content. The information's anonymized, so no one should be worried about being able to, you know, find me, Jared Purchase, on there. You can't find my full name. You can find me if you know my nickname on there. I'm not going to give that out though. But you can see what I own. You will not see the values, and you'll just see the weighting of what I have. So there's a massive anonymized part of it. The final part is we receive a data feed in a similar way. It's anonymized people from the company called BGL. So there's so many portfolios in there. They're not necessarily using self-wealth. So you might see some strange names in there because they're system generated. People haven't chosen them themselves. But they are real people, real portfolios. So typically, I think last time I looked at the top few people, they are actually self-wealth clients and self-wealth users. So you'll see there's some people consistently ranking at the top there. So I guess a great story for this is my dad uses it a lot. He's 61 and he absolutely loves it. He uses the premium feature. He's an annual subscriber. Usually in June we have a promotion where you can sign up for an annual 12-month subscription. You get a few trades along with it. Otherwise, you just pay $20 a month. But he loves it. He goes through and finds investing ideas, follows a few people on the site just to sort of increase his knowledge as to what high-performing investors are doing.
Do you have a side hustle? My side hustle is websites, a form of digital real estate. If you want to learn more about this lucrative side hustle, check out my review of the eBusiness Institute and their online self-paced courses. They cover everything from total beginners right through to advanced web design and how to buy, renovate, and sell websites for profit. As a graduate of Matt and Liz's courses, I can't thank them enough for the valuable web skills they gave me, and now I enjoy growing my portfolio of websites for income. Captain Fi listeners can register for free access to some of these courses by signing up using the link at www.captainfi.com/ebusiness-institute-review. Build your portfolio of digital real estate and start using websites to make money today.
So I must say, I previously hadn't had really any experience with the premium features. I just basically thought, nah, I like the chess sponsorship, I like the flat fee, and that's what I'm here for, and I'm not gonna muck around. I'm just having a look now. So I've got a 5-star safety rating, so that's awesome. So cool, thanks, yeah. Thanks, Jared. That's a pat on the back for me. my wealth check score is a B, and I am a member ranking top 39%. So if anyone wants to follow me, go ahead. I'm at Captain Fi, so you can see what I'm invested in. But for those people, you're just going to see the same on the blog.
Yeah, so you'll probably, as your strategy is buying ETFs, you'll never be in that top part because obviously ETFs are following the market. So in terms of your wealth check score, you're never going to be in the top. But that's fine. And some people think that we have this system to try and get people to trade more and all that sort of stuff. That is not it at all. If people have their strategy and they want to stick to just buying ETFs, that's 100% fine. There is actually... There's a target portfolio just made of ETFs. So if you want the top people that and want to know what ETFs they're buying and just invest in ETFs, there's an option for that. So if anyone's on the trial or has premium, feel free to have a poke around in that and see what the most popular ETFs are in the community because, you know, there's over 100,000 portfolios in the platform. So you've got a great subsection of the Australian investing community. So to understand trends around what ETFs people are using. Like I said, with the example of my dad, that's what he uses it for. He uses it for inspiration, see what other people are doing. So
inspired me. I'm going to jump on and give it a go. Yeah, you'll probably see some more stuff on the blog about it in the future. Jared, just finishing up, I would, I always love to ask all my guests, what would be your top 3 tips for someone on the path to financial independence today?
That's a good question. My tips, earn lots of money is a pretty good one. that's obviously a joke and it's hard to do, but you know, educate yourself, read. The fact that people are on your blog is and your podcast is fantastic. Like these people are obviously already educating themselves and learning. I think having a great budgeting system's good and disciplined, but that's not to say that you shouldn't enjoy life. Like, you know, we don't know if we're all going to be around when we're a lot older. So saving and putting away money every single cent means you're not enjoying life at the moment. But that's some people. But I guess my main one is education. Yeah. Keep yourself informed as to what's going on in the market, especially when it comes to investing in ETFs. It's a massive area, and new ones are coming out all the time, which might be lower fees or more more interesting or more suited thematically to something you're interested in investing in.
I really do resonate, and I really appreciate your advice there about enjoying life. I know I've personally been guilty at times of being really over the top and really extreme about being frugal and trying to maximize my investments. But even right now, I've actually taken time off work. I'm actually off work for the rest of the year. I'm spending more time at home with my family, reconnecting with my friends, and just loosening the purse strings a little bit. And I'm already feeling a lot happier. And do you have any favorite books, say investing, personal finance or self-help books? That
what Scott Paper's done with the Barefoot Investor is fantastic. I think if you've read that or you already have a similar philosophy to that, then you're miles ahead of most people. So I'm sure a lot of your listeners have heard of or read the Barefoot Investor. The concepts in there are fantastic. Unfortunately for me, I just happen to already do a similar thing. I guess in terms of continuing to educate yourself, obviously like your blog, I follow Strong Money. Dave over at Strong Money is great. He has very easy to consume content in there. He answers a lot of questions, similar to, I guess, what Scott Pape does, but in a little bit of a different format. So that's a great blog. He you know, really easy to consume, simple sort of concepts that he goes through. So they're my main ones. Other than that, I'm probably too busy to be working to be reading too much of that stuff myself. I read a lot of fictional stuff to unplug from the finance world because I live and breathe it. You know, 9 to 5, 5 days a week, even more than that.
So, Jared, if people want to learn more about Self-Wealth, how can they get in touch with the company and learn more?
Yeah, sure. So we're an online-only business, so selfwealth.com.au. For those that need, I'll put it out there, for those that need phone support, we don't offer that because it's quite expensive to offer that to have all these people sitting on phones. So we've got live chat on the website. So if you're just on your computer, go to selfwealth.com.au. There'll be a live chat option down the bottom right, which you can access as a client or not, typically during trading hours only, so kind of 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. We'll be looking hopefully to increase that those periods when U.S. trading's introduced. But we also do have, you can access us by email. You can just email support at selfwealth.com.au. But the website has a lot there. You obviously have your own review of Self-Wealth there. So there's plenty of reviews of us out there with tons of information as to what Self-Wealth's about. But we're really open and transparent. So there's no harm in you jumping on live chat and asking the guys some of the hard questions.
Yeah, actually, I use that live chat function quite a bit when I was chewing my fingernails, deciding to switch from ComSec to Self-Wealth back in the day. It's great. Awesome, mate. Well, look, Jared, thanks so much for taking time out of your really busy schedule to answer some questions today. Really appreciate it. And, look forward to seeing some of the exciting changes with the new app and the US trading in the next few months.
As am I. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Captain Fi Financial Independence Podcast. To read the transcripts or check out the show notes, head over to www.captainfi.com for all the details. If you have a question for the captain, make sure to get in touch. You might even make it on the airwaves. You can reach me online through the Captain Fi contact form or get in touch through the socials. I'm active on Facebook and Instagram, as well as a number of online finance and investing forums. And finally, remember, the information presented on the show and the links provided are for general information purposes only. They should not be taken as constituting professional financial advice. You should always do your own research when making any financial decisions and make sure it's appropriate for your personal circumstance.